Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casino. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome in. It's Free Agency Day. We are exclusive on WGR Sports Radio 550 today with Marty. I'm Brian. And yes, indeed, as you would expect, a lot of signings already. Marty, am I wrong here in that they've misled us in recent years to believe that free agency opens at noon, but all the news is before noon? Like, have I just like tuned out the last couple of years, or my mental block has just gotten the
no,
way?
No, well, there was a time where there was a courting period, right?
Right.
You were allowed to talk to players and teams, and no numbers were to be negotiated. It didn't matter. They said, you know what? We don't have to worry about the courting period, because it's the same thing. Everybody talks to one another. Not only this year have we not gotten, we've already gotten some UFA deals that have been leaked before noon. We've gotten some RFA deals, like Joseph Woll, for example. He has another year left on his deal. He's technically not allowed to sign an extension until noon today. Mm-hmm. And this morning it leaked that, oh, well, he's got a 3-year extension at $3.66 million. I'm like, wait. What's the rush? They had all day tomorrow or all day today and tomorrow to announce it. But anyway, you know, I was one of those guys that signed at 12:01 one year, but I also had permission from my former club to talk to other teams. So that's the difference.
Well, Sabres trying to bulk up the bottom six, as we know from Kevin Adams throughout the course of this offseason. Reports indicate right now that Sam Lafferty, most recently with Vancouver, coming off a 13-goal year. Elliot Friedman reporting 2 years, $2 million per with Buffalo over that period of time. Again, remains to be made official by the Sabres, who, by the way, will be opening the home portion of their schedule after returning from Europe on Friday, October 10th against the LA Kings. So that is a date to circle, as they've released the home opener today. And there are other reports, obviously, you know, potentially around the Sabres that we'll get to momentarily. Obviously, though, the biggest news, and I mean, you could pick your spot here based on the size of some of the deals, but Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault reportedly have signed with the Nashville Predators. Former Sabre Brandon Montour on a massive deal with Seattle, 7 years, more than $7 million per. It's all part of the frenzy, Marty. And I guess a quick thought, if we can start with obviously the Sabres and Sam Lafferty, which, along with the acquisition of Beck Malenstein over the weekend, is clearly reshaping the bottom six.
Yeah, and we talked about where my holes are with the roster right now. I have one open spot on the top six, and that obviously is vacated by Jeff Skinner. And I had three open spots in the bottom six. Now, one of them was Malenstein filling in that spot. So that's good. Sam Lafferty could also fill one of those spots. That's totally fine. But in the end, if you made the decision to buy out Jeff Skinner, is, in my opinion, knowing that you will fill that spot up. Like, you have to think that something bigger will be happening for the Sabres to fill in that left wing top line Thompson talking X, right? And there's a wide open gap right there. Maybe it's Peterka. Okay, well, then it become Cousins, Quinn, and who? Like X right there. I don't think Zach Benson fits into that spot. So, you know, I still think it's got to be there. But two of the three bottom six spots are being taken now, which is reshaping the bottom six, which is fine with me. These are still good moves.
Shayna Goldman's going to join us throughout pretty much the bulk of this show as you return to your TSN duties in just a few minutes, Marty. A quick thought on, well, some of the latest breaking news is that Jacob Chychrun has been dealt yet again. This seemed inevitable based on the length of rumor time period with the Ottawa Senators, and he has gone to the Capitals, who have had a really interesting offseason so far after making their way into the playoffs last year and having their farm club win the Calder Cup once again. They not only pick up Chychrun for Nick Jensen but reports indicate they're going to sign Matt Roy as well on their back end. So an area that has been of concern, certainly for the Capitals, appears to be an awful lot better right now. The report from Elliot Friedman is that Matt Roy gets himself a hefty raise and massive term, the most possible at 7 years, $5.5 million. So the Capitals will look dramatically different, but it's going to be hard to over... I feel like I'm, you know, jumping all over the place here, but I think many would point to Nashville and the fact that they've added Stamkos and Marchessault today.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge, right? The Nashville Predators, Barry Trotz coming in last year, the first year general manager, and now his second time around with the free agent day. He goes out and gets Stamkos and Marchessault. To replace, well, let's say replace Stamkos in Tampa, they signed Jake Guentzel. You know, that's 7 years, $9 million a year. That's a lot. You know, we can look at, you mentioned Montour. Reinhardt also, now Reinhardt, that is a very friendly number for Sam Reinhardt at 8 years at $8.6 million. I mean, so there's been some friendlier deal, and then you've got some deals that are a lot of money. Like Tyler Bertuzzi, who signs a 4 years at $5.5 million with Chicago. So there's some bad deals that are being given out on July 1. There has been some good deals, I feel, but there's some bad ones also.
Well, the Hawks, though, obviously very aggressive today. The most recent report has them bringing in Alec Martinez, who I wasn't sure, you know, whether he would stay as far west as possible, which has been pretty much his career. But he's gone to Chicago reportedly on a one-year deal for $4 million. So, again, that's a really nice veteran presence for them to have on the blue line. Speaking of the defense corps, Carolina's been in a great state of potential flux based on the number of UFAs this year, but also the desire to get Jacob Slavin done. And they have done that with an eight-year extension worth just shy of $52 million in total. So Yakov Trenin, another one that we talked about a lot on this show, Marty, as a potential for Buffalo's bottom six, has reportedly signed with the Minnesota Wild. The report indicates it's 4 years, $3.5 million per. That's a pretty big number for a guy not that long ago who went through, you know, pretty challenging negotiation process with the Nashville Predators, but ended last year with Colorado, and I think is a pretty serviceable guy. But that's a pretty big number over 4 years at $3.5 million per.
Yeah, listen, some players sometimes you say terms. They want terms, like Tanev in Toronto, right? He wanted 6 years, but he goes to $4.5 million. So you're thinking, okay, he took more years, maybe a little bit less money. For Trenum, it's been a little bit of both. I think that's a pretty hefty over 4 years. Anthony Stolarz, looks like Kevin Weeks reported, will be going to Toronto on a two-year deal in the mid-twos. So for Toronto, that's really good. I feel like that's a really good number for Anthony Stolarz as well in the mid-two, two-and-a-half. So,
and that's, puts their future goaltending at under $6 million for the two of them for the next for next year specifically. And then, you know, we'll see. But obviously, Wall got the three-year extension. I know you have to run to get back to the
TSN. Yeah, I got to run now. They're calling me.
One quick name or target you would, hope for from a Sabres standpoint up front.
Well, obviously, I mean, I want a big – I don't want to say I want a big name, but I want somebody that's going to come in and be able to fill in a top spot, right? So you look at the free agent. I knew that Guentzel was not going to be there. Stamkos is gone. Marchessault. So I think it's getting to be slim picking right now. I still think you got to circle around and look at Marty Natchez and maybe try to make a deal there. So that would be one. Or Nick Ehlers. I think there's still both of them right there.
All right, Marty, enjoy the rest of your day at TSN. Thank you so much. Obviously, no matter what source you typically go to for NHL news on television, it's well-balanced on this day. TSN, Sportsnet, NHL Network, ESPN, it's all happening right now. And as you can tell, it's pretty crazy just what has happened here right off the hop. And Shayna Goldman is going to come in from The Athletic momentarily just to really, bring the opinions. I know Shannon's going to have some incredible hot takes here as to what's unfolded. I know that throughout the course of this past year, even with Stamkos was hitting 40 goals, there was great concern, especially through how Shayna views the game and what Tampa struggled with this year, which was 5-on-5 play, as to what Stamkos' ability was and impact was long-term. It's hard, though, to get over the actual goal scoring that he continues to bring on an annual basis. So have they replaced all of that with Jake Guentzel for the next 7 years? Probably not, but the 5-on-5 game should be, in the Lightning's eyes, improved. And Stamkos, of course, while going to Nashville, has already posted on social saying that he doesn't really have the words yet to thank Tampa for everything that his career has had to this point. And it will undoubtedly be, you know, quite a change for the Lightning fan base to view their team without their captain, without the, and again, down the line you go with marquee players that will still be there with Tampa, and you can add Jake Guentzel to the list, but it looks like Stamkos certainly not alone in his decision to join the Predators. This is a Predators team, by the way, that we talked about very recently. Granted, their cap situation is going to improve slightly over time, but they've got about $12 million in dead cap this year, a little over $8 million in dead cap next year. UC Saros likely to have a very team-friendly contract extension moving forward that was talked about during the draft. But Stamkos, with Marchessault and Brady Shea, all agreeing the terms with the Nashville Predators today. So clearly, Shayna Goldman, the as we welcome you in on the Free Agent Frenzy Day, it doesn't appear as though that that $12 million in dead cap for the Predators this year is hampering their decision making on this day. Now, they are going to be on the older side of the ledger here. How is this trio of acquisitions going to position the Predators for next season?
It's really interesting because on the one hand, it did feel like they were kind of intent on retooling, thinking about the future, thinking about young talent, and all of a sudden they're like, you know what? Screw it. Let's just go for it. And I kind of respect that because when you think of the UC Saros contract, you're like, okay, so you're not just trying to be young and think about the future. Like, your focus is on right now and competing with UC Forsberg and Saros all in the heights of their careers, right? And it makes sense why you would. If you have elite talent like that at each position, why not? So I kind of like some of the signings, and I like that they don't have huge terms associated with it up front. The Shea contract's one thing. He's the younger player of this. But for Stamkos and Marchessault, do I love the later years of those deals? No, not at all. But they have so many young players and draft picks that I'm like, maybe this can all balance out.
Yeah, they need those young players to hit eventually. But in the next year or two, it'll be fascinating to see whether they can truly compete and whether Saros is the, you know, that difference maker they desperately needed after McDonough went back to Tampa. They desperately needed another prominent defenseman. They still, in my opinion, need at least one or two more that may come on the lower, cheaper end of free agency. But right now, the report are Stamkos, 4 years, $8 million per. Marchessault, 5 years at $5.5 million per. Brady Shea at 7 years, $7 million. So that's all well and good. Those players are not in the Eastern Conference impacting the Buffalo Sabres. What does impact the Sabres, the deals like Ottawa just made, moving Chychrun to Washington. Nick Jensen comes the other way, but also prominently the Boston Bruins. Chris Johnson reporting that Elias Lindholm, and I felt like this was kind of the landing spot ever from the moment Lindholm left Calgary. It felt like he was going to end up in Boston at some point. He's got a 7-year deal with the Bruins carrying $7.75 million annual value, along with reports indicating that Nikita Zadorov is going to end up there as well. This is pretty prominent for a team that has been at or right near the top of the division for as long as most can remember.
Yeah. Also, back to Nashville 1 second, there is an irony that I do respect of Brady Shea stepping into Ryan McDonagh's place for like the second time. We thought this was going to happen. Now he gets that real shot. But to the Bruins. Well, they needed centers, right? And they didn't get it back in the Ullmark trade, or they didn't get the assets to land them a center. And maybe it's because they had an idea like they'd actually have a true shot at Lindholm, who they've been gearing for so long. And it's a really interesting one because Lindholm has been a hit or miss player. You know, like, he's really good with an elite winger. So if you put him with Pastrnak, maybe he's going to cook. Like, maybe that'll work. Maybe he could be a shutdown line with Brad Marchand. Like, I think you have options there. But he didn't bounce back the way I think a lot of us expected him to in Vancouver. Like, he seemed like a prime player to do so, especially with his shooting percentage in mind. So I'm a little curious how it works out in Boston. It's a lot of money to pay someone after a down year. I don't love it entirely. I'm okay with it, though, right? The Zadorov one, you knew he was going to get his bag, right? Like, after that playoff performance, the vibes, the personality, the fashion, and then the on ice, like, he's a legitimately good defenseman. I think you can overpay for so many players, but it's eventually going to build up. And I don't know if the Bruins are worried about that, though. Like, think about it. It's not like they're a team that like drafts, develops, and all that. They trade their way out of their problems.
Mm-hmm. I don't, on the surface, love the length and the dollar for Lindholm, but recognizing the situation that he's going into, I suspect that he'll come close to earning, you know, what he's getting, at least in the, you know, probably near term. Basically, as long as Marchand is on that team, I think their top end players are going to benefit. It'll be when that next layer of changeover happens with the Bruins that I would then be concerned. But that's down the road, and the Bruins obviously are in a good spot. Anthony Mantha has signed with Calgary, according to Eric Francis, who's been based in Calgary for over 20 years. That's Anthony Mantha getting a one-year deal, 3.5, after it didn't really work out in Vegas as they were eliminated in round number one. The obvious news that was off the top of the show, we were talking about the Sabres, with Sam Lafferty, who was in Vancouver last year as part of that team's turnaround. The reports indicate 2 years at $2 million per. And Frank Saravalli just tweeted that that the Sabres have agreed to terms with veteran forward Jason Zucker at 1 year and $5 million. So a quick thought, obviously, here on Sabres Live, Shana, about those two acquisitions by the Sabres.
Yeah, I think Lafferty's like a good, versatile player. He's good to have. He can play center. He can play at wing. He can be trusted in defensive situations. Like, that's not a bad player to have. It's just a little bit of utility, and you don't want to overspend on that. And I think the term, the money, it's fine, right? And that's all you want it to be. I know it's not like the most exciting answer, but you don't necessarily need excitement with depth players. For Jason Zucker, if he can be healthy, he's a really good winger. I liked him in Arizona. I've liked him in Pittsburgh. I've liked him in Minnesota. I feel like he goes everywhere and you're like, he is solid. He can drive play relatively well. He's not going to be like the leader on his line, and that's fine. But in a middle six capacity, he could be a really good player to jump in with some like clutch scoring and pretty solid playmaking. A one-year deal, why not, right? And say the Sabres aren't in contention next year and they aren't in the playoff mix. We've seen how teams can, you know, reclaim some value on him, especially if they're willing to retain salary, which Arizona wasn't last year. But ideally, he's the guy that they keep as their own rental in a sense, and he's helping them make that playoff push.
What about Zucker? This is a guy who's been around. I thought he looked sharp fitting in with Nashville at the end last year, but when you view the entirety of his career, where he's at right now, what would your expectation be for this reported one-year deal for Jason Zucker with the Sabres?
I mean, I think you have to be reasonable, right? I wouldn't expect an 82-game season out of him, but I would, you know, you'd hope that he's healthy enough to play as much as possible. I would expect him to honestly chime in on power play two a little bit and kind of take the role that maybe we expected Jeff Skinner to have this year, right? Because you would have thought he would have been that third liner a little bit, and then it was too expensive to have him be that kind of role at his cap. So I wonder if, you know, at $5 million, they can kind of excuse it and make it work.
Shana Goldman from The Athletic is with us here on WGR Sports Radio 550. It's Sabres Live on Free Agent Frenzy Day. And, you know, with Zucker, obviously a short-term player in Nashville, as it turned out, they ended up going in a significant different direction today, bringing in Stamkos, Marchessault, and Brady Shea. The Predators tried their best to be the biggest headline makers, and maybe at the end of the day they will be, but boy, oh boy, it has been a pretty significant day so far around the league. What did you think quickly of Brandon Montour? There was half of last year where I was worried, I don't know if he's going to get paid after having that incredible year the season prior. Then it turns out that he kind of worked his way into form, won the Stanley Cup, and did, in fact, get paid by the Kraken.
Yeah, he's a really interesting one because, like, I don't know if I think he's a $7 million defenseman, but I also think he makes sense for a lot of reasons. I think that 2022-23 might have been a little bit of an aberration. Maybe he's not that kind of scorer, and that's okay. I also think this year was kind of an undercut of what he could do. He came back from injury. It took him a while to get going. He had a low on-ice shooting percentage. Like, those things work against the player. And also, they weren't trailing games as often as they were the year before, that they needed that dramatic comeback where he'd score a ton. Having said that, you still want to see that middle ground. And I feel like that's what Seattle is probably going to get from him between the two seasons. Like, a scoring rate right down the middle would be fine. Is he the best play driver from the back end? No. Is he solid at it, though? Yeah, why not? You know, like, he has the offensive spark, and if you can shelter him, he can freewheel and play to his strengths and be, you know, a power play one quarterback. I'm curious how that works out with Vince Dunn. Does he reach his full value if he's not on power play one? I'm not so sure of that. But I also look at the Kraken and go, well, they need offense, period, the end. They have good defense. So why not have two pairs with an offensive spark to help push the forward group along? I think it's a bet to make.
They need more help up front, though, correct?
I mean, if they could get one superstar winger, I think that would be something. Because I think Beniers is going to bounce back offensively. I think the change of coaching is going to help. The power play coaching, I think, is going to help. And I wonder if Shane Wright gets going in a year or two also. Like, to start hitting his stride at the NHL level. Like, I don't know if he's going to start at the NHL this year. I'd hope to see that happen, but I feel like just one more impact winger.
Yes, and obviously, they're an interesting one to watch, but they made their biggest splash UFA-wise to date with the signing of Montour today at 7 years and just under $50 million. We mentioned Zadorov from a former Sabre on the blue line standpoint. His term looks to be 6 years and $5 million per with the Boston Bruins. And as if you know, if you're just joining us, as far as Sabre news that is reported at this point in time, it is that the Sabres have agreed to terms with forward Jason Zucker, 1 year, $5 million, and versatile bottom six center winger Sam Lafferty, who had 13 goals last year with Vancouver, is expected to be coming to Buffalo, 2 years, $2 million per. What did you make of Buffalo over the weekend and the buyout of Jeff Skinner? And now, based on how free agency has played out so far, Shayna, and it certainly sounded like this from the general manager at the draft in Vegas, and appears to be even clearer now, that a replacement in the top six would come via a trade.
I mean, it feels like that has to happen, right? Because they didn't go for any of these top free agents. I mean, like, opening cap space is one part of it, but not every team can just open cap space. Like, some teams can only open cap space, and that's how they operate, and the Sabres have a ton of assets that they don't need to only go through free agency. Like, they could open up the cap space and then start going on the trade market. So I think that helps them and opens up their options. I think the buyout of Jeff Skinner from a vibes perspective is obviously, like said, you look at all that he did for the Sabres and the locker room, and I think that is one part of it that we can't forget. But on the other hand, like, it's a business, and a $9 million forward, you know, in cap space, it wasn't happening, and they needed a different look, right? They need something else going on in their forward group. They have so many players who are good off the rush, but it just feels like they either need a bona fide goal scorer, a legit playmaker, just one game breaker to really go with, you know, Tage Thompson and Dylan Cousins. Like, I feel like that would get them a long way. So to open up this cap space, to give themselves the opportunity to add one, that's pretty big, right? But now you have to do it.
Do you have any players in mind still that, have been in the rumor mill, in our discussions or your discussions elsewhere, or names that now might appear inevitable to get into the rumor cycle based on how other teams have done their business? I will say this. There was probably a time where people looked at someone like a Tyler Toffoli, for instance, right? Well, he's got his close to retirement contract, might I say, in San Jose. Look, he spent a lot of time in his career in the West, and now he's going to do four more at $6 million per with San Jose.
Yeah. I still wonder about Ehlers. Still, yes. Like them for him, because I still like the idea of a good playmaker. I still like Natchez for them. Mm-hmm. I do worry. I know he has defensive flaws. I totally get that. He's someone that can rush into the zone and do everything you need and then fold back. And I do get the concern there, but I wonder how he looks in a new environment. I don't even hate a line A for Buffalo, because that's your bona fide goal scorer. Again, you're looking at a defensively flawed forward. So I think you'd need to do something that you have that anchor that can help elevate them in a way that you really need. But I don't know. I feel like I want to see what names go on the trade board that haven't been there before. Like, I want to see something different, because we all keep talking about Buchnevich, and then the Blues 1 minute seem like they're selling him, 1 minute they don't. And he's someone that still makes sense for me. Mm-hmm. I'm really curious if anyone who's taking on a lot of cap now is going to have to rethink things and move players out.
If you had to choose of the names, and I'll keep Buchnevich off for the time being, because I'm kind of thinking along your lines right now. Like, I don't know if St. Louis is going to move him, but best fit for Buffalo in the short term, i.e. this coming season, if they acquired one of Laine, Natchez, or Ehlers.
Ehlers. He's the most complete, most ready, the most certain of the three. Each player has a little bit of risk to their game. I think he's the most certain. I can't stop saying it. I really think Buffalo just needs like a sick playmaker to just get the power play moving. And I think we saw Byram do that a little bit, but like, ideally Byram can do that on power play too. So someone like Dahlin can just cook and you can go with four forwards. Like, I think that they need that punch up front. But then again, like, you go Ehlers, and then my mind, like, I'm talking about a playmaker, and I'm like, well, there still is Mitch Marner out there. So I'm very curious at how things progress.
Are you thinking that a Marner deal does happen?
I wish I could predict the Leafs, but we're just here to go along for the ride and then make fun of everything that they do afterwards.
Well, but you're probably not making fun of them today. Wouldn't you say they've had a productive day?
They've had a productive day, indeed. It's funny. I think that Oliver Ekman-Larsson is just going to become a punching bag there. It's just like the par for the course. And I don't even hate the contract after he bounced back this year. I think it's going to be really interesting to see if Toronto can insulate him the way that Florida did this last year to help him get to his strengths, because we know he's limited at this point in his career, and that's totally okay if you know how to use him. I like the Tanev deal in the beginning. It's going to suck at the end, but hey, that's the beauty of free agency. But I still look at this team and I almost wonder if Brad Tree Living sometimes like is so focused on the players he knows, you know, and that's where Tanev keeps coming front of mind to me. Like, were there other options that maybe they're overlooking because it's like, this is what we know and this is what we know works. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think he's the most like innovative GM.
Well, they did, in fact, make some moves today. Stolarz looks like it should be, you know, you would think a good deal for them, bolstering the crease. Some of the news to just trickle in the last minutes here before we take a quick break on Sabres Live. And again, if you missed it off the top, the reports right now indicate the Sabres have signed Sam Lafferty to a two-year deal worth $2 million per, and also bring in Jason Zucker at 1 year and $5 million. The most recent deals, Sean Monahan, who had a terrific bounce back season last year, which spent between Montreal and Winnipeg, gets himself 5 years, $5.5 million with the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Oilers are adding one of my all-time favorites in Victor Arvidsson. They are reportedly looking on Jeff Skinner as well. And sources indicate to Frank Saravalli that the Canes have agreed to terms with Will Carrier. I just need to make sure I'm reading this right. 6 years at $2 million per. That is quite a commitment. I love, boy, oh boy. It's like producer Jeff is just feeding me all the names that I love, Victor Arvidsson and Will Carrier, in quick succession here before the break. Shayna, hang tight. We're going to get back to you in just a second. Of course, it's free agent frenzy day, and Sabres are going to open the home portion of their schedule this year, October 10th. It's Friday night against the LA Kings. Long before we get to that point, they're hosting FanFest as well. It's Saturday, September 14th. Great opportunity to just hang, mingle with the current Sabres alumni throughout the day. There's Hockey Fest, which is the street hockey tournament. Just check it all out, sabres.com/FanFest. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Professionally speaking, might be one of the best Mondays ever in my career, because we've dealt Marty on free agent frenzy, and Shayna Goldman is on for the bulk of the show. So thank you, Shayna, for that. It's a great way to start the week. Sun is shining in Buffalo, moderate temperatures with less humidity. We're all in favor of that. However, a lot of teams are cooking and throwing money into the fire. And the latest appears to be Vancouver, according to a good friend and mentor of mine, John Shannon. Jake DeBrusk, 7 years, $5.5 million per with Vancouver. I guess we know where Lindholm's money went.
Yeah, that is an interesting one. I mean, I really thought DeBrusk was going to stay east. I was so curious if he was going to go to Toronto, which would have been so fitting for the storylines. I know it always affects Leafs. But I kind of like this for them. I think Jake DeBrusk is a good player. I think the important thing is going to be keeping him on the left side, because I know teams have tried to see what he can do on the right, and he just is a much better fit on the left. Does he have some defensive flaws? Sure. But I think he's really coming to his own, and I think Jim Montgomery did a really good job with him the last couple of years, rounding out his game and making him a more effective forward. And I feel like Rick Tocchet is going to be able to challenge that. Like, I really like the idea of like that coach with that player, which sometimes like I don't care about and I think is overhyped. But with DeBrusk, I'm really intrigued, because we saw the impact of a coaching change on his game once that I'm like, okay, now what's he going to do? Like, let him cook. I like this a lot, because I feel like Vancouver needs one more top six winger. And you saw guys like Suter jumping up, and they worked, and they were that defensive balance. But they also have guys like DiGiuseppe in their top six at some point. Like, if you want to be a bona fide contender and you have something going, like DeBrusk with Pettersson could be interesting. It probably would be an upgrade over Mikheyev.
Right. And they were able to get out from under that deal. Obviously, they re-signed Tyler Myers, but and not to spend too much time on Vancouver here, obviously, with the Sabres being the prominent focus here on Sabres Live. But it was curious to me when they did the Myers deal. Obviously, they knew, presumably at that time, that they weren't going to be able to retain Zadorov. But in hindsight, wouldn't they have been best to put the Myers money into making sure they could keep Zadorov?
Maybe. I mean, here's the thing. I think once they paid Filip Hronek as much as they did, they knew they couldn't spend as much on Zadorov. And it makes sense in some ways. But it's been like such a roller coaster with them, because on the one hand, you're going, they're going to lose everyone. And on the other hand, they're like, oh, they're going to keep everyone. So it's been like really back and forth, and they landed somewhere in the middle, which is totally fine. I think it's okay that they go for a cheaper option keeping Myers. Is it my favorite deal? No. Do I think that you can manage it? Yes.
As far as the Sabres are concerned, off the top, a couple of reported signings on this free agent day. Sam Lafferty, speaking of Vancouver, where he had a good season last year, no question about that, in a fourth line role. Predominantly, Lafferty at 2 years and a couple million per. And Jason Zucker reportedly coming into Buffalo on a one-year deal worth $5 million per. Now, this, you know, might come in a touch higher dollar-wise, Shayna, than what some of the projections would indicate. But it also ties in directly, basically, with the buyout of Jeff Skinner and how, in the short term, the Sabres don't have a big hit at all this year, but they will have a cap hit on Skinner of much greater number in the next 2 years. So the Zucker one-year bridge, if you will, makes sense in this regard. And obviously, they still have significant room to acquire somebody via trade, which we talked about in the last segment. Have you thought a little more here on other potential trade targets? Like, to me, you know, Nashville was fascinating to me with all their signings and the fact they were, you know, they obviously had a ton of room despite dead cap space this year. The Flyers have had a lot of dead cap as well. They bought out players like Cam Atkinson. Do you wonder still what they're up to and whether a player like Travis Konecny would eventually be in play, or whether you expect a locking up of Konecny here at some point very soon?
I feel like they're going to keep him, and I kind of think that's for the best. It's tough because on the one hand, I'm like, are you ready for that? But I think the way that they kind of advance better than they expected and they've developed so well, like, they're really balancing that long-term plan. And we saw that by how they moved out a couple of players at the deadline when they could have just stuck with it, that I feel like at this point, they're probably going to keep him. And I don't hate that for them, honestly. Why not? He's your best player. That's hard to replace. I think if there's other movable players, like, I would be moving a Scott Laughton before I move a Travis Konecny, because he's going to be that much harder to replace.
Laughton, of course, I mentioned a variety of times, especially closer to last year's deadline, but I would say early in this offseason as a potential fit for the Sabres. Refresh my memory as to how you thought about that and how that would or wouldn't have changed based on the reported signings today by Buffalo of Lafferty and Zucker.
I don't think it should change much, right? Like, you know, they're not going for these huge deals. They're not going for these really long-term deals that we have to like start looking at the long-term plan and looking at everything's going to count and projecting cap outwards. I think that the signings today I look at and I'm like, those are pretty good placeholders. Placeholders for better options on the free agent market, placeholders for internal options to grow. That I think that that's kind of what you need. I think teams fall into this trap sometimes where they feel like they need something huge to get things going. And this is a trap that maybe a team like Nashville falls into. And I'm not saying I dislike what they're doing, but sometimes we see teams like overdo it in the free agency market to make up for what they don't have. And they give players way too much term, because when they get to free agency is not the time you want to give these players huge deals. They're 28, 29, 30, 31, like 34, some of them, that you have to keep that in mind. Like, are they in the right phase of their career to be getting that money? Or do you have to overpay to bring them to you because there's a million suitors out for them at the same time? So I think that's kind of where my head goes with that.
Shayna Goldman from The Athletic with us today here on Sabres Live. A quick thought on the Devils and what they've done with the most recent ad, according to NHL Network, being Brendan Dillon, most recently with Winnipeg. This on the heels of bringing in Brett Pesce from New Jersey, and you would suspect a healthy Dougie Hamilton at some point. How much better are the Devils after they also, not too long ago, added Jacob Markstrom in the crease?
Markstrom's the key to all of this, because Marino for Pesci, I think maybe you could say it's a slight upgrade, maybe a little bit more certainty of what Pesci brings to the lineup. I think that's totally fair. With me, my issue with Pesci is the durability. Like, that's my one red flag, but I get it. Like, Marino bounced back in a huge way after he plateaued with Pittsburgh, but last year just wasn't good. Some of it might've been coaching, the defense around him. He didn't have Ryan Graves, who was his mainstay the year before. And you look at the rest of the defense kind of collapsing around him. I think they have a lot more certainty now. You have Hamilton, Pesci, and then Nemich. That's a good thing to have. And if you feel that, you know, in a couple of years, you can start like moving around the depth chart, that works out well. I still look at them and I think that they need one more difference-making forward up front. Like, I think Marchessault would have been a dream for them. Even at the contract that Nashville signed him at, I think they could have pushed for a little more. You know, I know they're looking for one right shot forward, which makes a lot of sense because you look at their whole top six, no matter how you configure it with Plot or Timo Meier in it, Dawson Mercer's it. That's their only right-handed shooter. And I know that they have these right-handed shooters from the blue line. So you look at power play one, it's going to be Hamilton's shot, and that's great to have. But I think if you have a little bit more versatility with a right-handed shooter, like you see certain plays with playmakers, like how you receive a pass, how you shoot the puck, it helps to have that. So I'm still looking for that one difference maker to take their forward group to the next level. And then I think like they're in a prime position to bounce back. I think they kind of would have been no matter what, because it was just bad luck and some mistakes that dragged them down this year.
They definitely have protected Luke Hughes nicely on the blue line though, haven't they?
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's... And you know, he had the trial by fire last year. He should have never been in that role, but it's not his fault that Dougie Hamilton got hurt. It's no one's fault.
Right, right. So with all that being said, it's a lot of movement within the Eastern Conference. Carolina, what do you make of them based on, you know, we mentioned Will Carrier, albeit it was just quickly before the break, 6 years at $2 million per. But this is a club that was unable to retain Guentzel. They've lost Shea and Pesci off the blue line. Yes, they did the max term with Jacob Slavin to keep him. How do you feel about the Carolina Hurricanes at this point in time?
I would like to see more. I like that they can kind of keep swapping out their depth a bit. I think that they're a team that's shown that they can do that up front. So someone like Carrier coming in, like they should be able to just keep pushing along. But I would still want one difference making forward up front and one bona fide goal scorer. So I wonder if that happens maybe via nature's trade and like, hey, maybe something changes that they say, we don't need to move on from him. But I just can't help but think that's like for the best right now. And I think someone like Chatfield can step up, but I still think losing two defensemen from your second pair is a tough blow. It's going to be really interesting to see how much the system can take over, because we've talked about it for years. Look at how many players they can interchange and how good they can still be. Does that change when you lose Pesci and Shea in one shot? Do you have an answer for that so you can keep going along with business as usual?
It's a great question. It sounds like Darren Dreger has posted on the Red Wings and their goaltending, and that they've added Cam Talbot for a couple of years. So at 2.5, unless I'm wrong on that.
No, but, I see it too.
So that is an interesting development for a team that already has a couple of goaltenders under contract. So maybe there's more to come there. Why do you think Pat Kane ended up on a one-year deal with Detroit?
I would not commit term to Pat Kane if I were at the Red Wings. I would keep everything to short term. It's interesting because it all depends on like how they proceed with Raymond and Seider, right? If they spend a lot right now, then maybe they go bridge deal for those two players. And then when his cap hit comes off the books, you can deal with it. I think that they can have a little more certainty that he's going to be able to repeat what he did last year and build on it, because now he's going to have a true offseason of being healthy to get back into like tip-top shape. And I thought he was a really good fit there last year. But I wouldn't want to overcommit because you don't know what they're going to need in a year. You know, I think they have to be really careful with the older players because everything's just weird right now with the Red Wings. And you look at the Walman deal and how they're moving out salary, you go, they must have something in mind. So I think a short-term commitment makes the most sense, because for all we know, he could just keep signing one-year deals. Like, why not?
Other than the fact that, as any player would want, the term would have been what he was seeking, with closer to the max number that he could actually make this year, which is $6.5 million, with it being bonus driven on a $4 million base. It is, well, we're getting close to the end of our number one of free agency. And at this point in time, who in the East has made the biggest improvement in your opinion?
You know what? It might not sound like an improvement, but I'm going to go with the Florida Panthers. I think they were very smart on who they kept, who they didn't keep, the prices they kept them at. that I like that. I think sometimes winning raises the bar and raises money way too high. And I think they've been very smart and very careful about it. I like letting Montour walk and opting to keep Reinhardt on a contract that's still going to be good, even if he doesn't repeat this year. And only keeping one of Kulikov or Ekman-Larsson, I think, was a good move, too.
You also know that today is the only day that could have prevented me from leading into your segment without talking about Aaron Ekblad, right? Because free agent frenzy is the dominant theme of the day. But Aaron
Ekblad, he was a vibe yesterday.
Aaron Ekblad won the parade, right? And remember, I don't know if we're on delay, Shayna, so let's keep it paraphrased if we can, as far as his day with the cone and the cup.
I loved it. I think it was so great. The vibes, the energy, even the mean girls, like, you know, there's 100% chance it's already raining. Like, he captured exactly the energy we needed. And I really love that we're seeing more cup celebrations. I think the Capitals set the bar really high. And I like that in years to follow, we're seeing the players have the best time and the Panthers look like they're having a great time. And I like the team leaning into it. Like, oh, there's no fans here. And you see this like overcrowded beach. I love it.
Yeah, it actually was quite a scene, despite the way. So chalk up another one for hockey players in adversity, right? They managed to navigate the cup through, less than ideal weather. But in all seriousness, when it comes to Ekblad, especially now that Montour has moved on a 7x7+ with Seattle, there had been a little rumbling that Ekblad was on the market. Do you suspect that the rest of their defense corps, by the way, Dmitry Kulikov, 4 years today, at just over $1 million per, so clearly he loves South Florida. Do you expect the rest of that defense corps to remain intact now that Montour has moved on?
I don't really see them overhauling it that much now. Like, I feel like losing Montour and Ekblad would be terrible. But if you look at what Ekblad's next contract could be, it's interesting because his last deal was front-loaded. So you could give him a big raise and front-load it again and let the AAV balance out just like this last one did. Then maybe you can keep him in that $7.5 million range. And I know everyone looks at cap hit to cap hit, but you know, with his contract, the way it was structured, we should be looking year to year to see it, because it could be a nice raise and increase year to year, you know, that it was from, it'll be next season to the year after when he signs that next contract.
Absolutely. Shayna, thank you so much for today. Greatly appreciate it. We'll look forward to all your work on The Athletic as always.
Thanks for having me.
Shayna Goldman, and we'll dive back into the Sabres on Free Agent Frenzy when we come back right after this. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Get back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Off-air drama. It is a staple of Sabres Live. And let me tell you, we were this close to having a Marty Baron cameo at the end of today's edition of Sabres Live. But duty calls. And if you're watching north of the border, happy Canada Day. And Marty's likely to reappear on TSN here in mere moments. You know who else is going to appear today? Sabre prospects on the ice at Harbour Center as development camp begins just over an hour from now. They'll skate from 2 to 3. Again, heavy emphasis on, when you use the word development camp and on-ice sessions, it's about orientation. It's about this year's draft class getting to know previous draft classes and what's expected organizationally moving forward here. But it all begins today and concludes on Thursday. That'll happen with a 3-on-3 tournament beginning at 9:15 a.m. on the 4th of July. As far as free agency today, obviously, huge dollars spent. Nashville might have made the biggest splash of all, grabbing Stamkos, Marchessault, and Brady Shea. But lots of significant news across the entirety of the league. The focus from a Sabres standpoint, outside of, you know, how do they go about replacing Jeff Skinner on the top line, which may well end up being via trade. Today, it certainly looks as if they've rounded out the bottom six on the heels of getting Beck Malenstein from the Capitals over draft weekend. Sam Lafferty coming in reportedly on a 2-year deal at $2 million per, and someone who fits more in the top nine and at times top six, Jason Zucker, 1 year, $5 million. There are other reports that they've addressed the depth in goal with Felix Sandstrom on a two-way deal. Darren Dreger reporting that. Obviously, stay with all the Sabres social channels throughout the course of the day for the latest news pertaining to the blue and gold. We'll see you again tomorrow on Sabres Live.
Rogers Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Off-air drama. It is a staple of Sabres Live. And let me tell you, we were this close to having a Marty Baron cameo at the end of today's edition of Sabres Live. But duty calls. And if you're watching north of the border, happy Canada Day. And Marty's likely to reappear on TSN here in mere moments. You know who else is going to appear today? Sabre prospects on the ice at Harbour Center as development camp begins. Just over an hour from now, they'll skate from 2 to 3. Again, heavy emphasis on when you use the word development camp and on-ice sessions. It's about orientation. It's about this year's draft class, getting to know previous draft classes and what's expected organizationally moving forward here. But it all begins today and concludes on Thursday. That'll happen with a 3-on-3 tournament beginning at 9:15 a.m. on the 4th of July. As far as free agency today, obviously, huge dollars spent. Nashville might have made the biggest splash of all, grabbing Stamkos, Marchessault, and Brady Shea. But lots of significant news across the entirety of the league. The focus from a Sabres standpoint, outside of, you know, how do they go about replacing Jeff Skinner on the top line, which may well end up being via trade. Today, it certainly looks as if they've rounded out the bottom six on the heels of getting Beck Malenstein from the Capitals over draft weekend. Sam Lafferty coming in reportedly on a 2-year deal at $2 million per, and someone who fits more in the top nine and at times top six, Jason Zucker, 1 year, $5 million. There are other reports that they've addressed the depth in goal with Felix Sandstrom on a 2-way deal. Darren Dreger reporting that. Obviously, stay with all the Sabres social channels throughout the course of the day for the latest news pertaining to the blue and gold. We'll see you again tomorrow on Sabres Live.